We are going to do a few more studies in the word walk in the New Testament. And, of course, the New Testament brings a little extra light to us concerning our Lord Jesus Christ and concerning the things that were given, especially to the Apostle Paul as he carried on his ministry out of the book of Acts into the city of Rome and into the people in that area for the time that went on. But now we also realize that it's been a few years when we get down here into Acts 28, where Paul is going to Rome as a prisoner. And so with that, he has learned a lot as he goes through. And I don't know exactly when Paul was given the truth of the mystery, but I do know this, that it changed the word walk in a kind of a great sense there, because the word walk, you know, much of it comes out in 4043 in the Strong's. And 4043 means to tread around or to tread all abroad, to walk at large. And it also means to live or deport oneself in a way pleasing to God and circumspectly, more so than in the manner of men. You know, in the Old Testament, they was two different words. It was the way that you could walk for God, or they was the way that you could walk as man. Well, it's still that way. But here is the new picture. Now, take, for instance, what Paul is talking about here in a lot of these prison epistles, and this is basically what we're going to do for 5 or 6 or maybe 8 or 10 studies, is these things that we find there that deals with his prison epistles, you know, from Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon and some of these other things. And one of the things that really strikes you straightforward is this, in these studies, and it's going to be now, instead of having a walk toward God or a walk the way man walks, the Apostle Paul has got understanding about the old man and the new man. And the realization that the old man and the new man is found in the one body of mankind. And so this kind of sheds a little different light on things a little bit, because you know, he tells people to starve out the old man, which is saying, you know, you need to get in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he laid down for us and what he gave Paul on the Damascus Road to keep us in the right direction for him. And that even though the old man is still with us, you know, it wasn't brought out so much in the Old Testament. It was kind of like it was either or. You know, you either were walking against God or you were walking for God. But the same man, you know, really can do both But the admonishment here by the words of the Apostle Paul is to follow his example, to follow Paul's examples, and to walk after Christ. And so this makes the study a little different, in my view, in my understanding of what's going on here. So I wanted to go back and to make that statement, and also to realize that it kind of complicates matters in a way, but in some ways it don't. And so this is October the 11th, 2017, and this is study 151 in Walk. I'm not going to change it for the last few studies because we're just going to think back of all the places where we have been in the Old Testament and then go to our hope here and to get a realization and an understanding between the two, if it can be possible that way. And so I wanted to go back and do this, and I wanted to start in Acts 28 because this is where we're going to pick up with the Apostle Paul. And there's some things that happened here in Acts 28 that sometimes we think about them and sometimes we may not. And I made a note here and I wrote down a little bit of stuff that I wanted to read you. And I'm going to read that to you now and then go back and read some stuff that I got out of Appendix 180. And it says, Acts now is where we start with Paul's journey. And this journey starts as sailing toward Rome after his shipwreck and after the hurricane ordeal of Acts 27, where he lands on the island of Malta with an oncoming winter ahead of him. And so this gave the apostle a chance to be there for a few months on that island and to do some miracles and also to heal those of that island following the time that he was there. And then right before he left, they showered Paul and his group with gifts because they had done all these miraculous things and healed these people and had taken care of those people on the island of Malta. And they were laden with gifts necessary for the rest of the journey. And so we need to go back and we need to start at Acts 28 verse 10 and pick up with that and go down through this part of the book of Acts again, because it seems like that every time you go through it, you always pick up a little something that maybe you really didn't see beforehand. And so it says this, it says, who also honored us with many honors, this is the people of Malta, and when we departed, they ladened us with such things as was necessary or necessary for the rest of their journey. Well, they're not done with the shipping business here. In verse 11 says this, and after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose signs was Castor and Pollux. And so they boarded a ship again. And it says, and after there is the word meter in the Greek. It means a time measurement. Anything with meter has dealing with a measurement. And here it's time. After 3 months, we departed. We weighed anchor in a ship of Alexander. This is another corn ship. They were on a corn ship when they got hung up in the hurricane. And I call it a hurricane. They different words for it in Acts 27, but basically this was a bad hurricane because they were tossed about in that thing for
over 14 days.
A bunch of days, more than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a harrowing experience for anyone.
Yeah.
I don't care who or where. And so I assumed that whenever they loaded them on a ship again, I think the soles of their feet probably hurt a little bit. Yeah, you know, just...
Well, you know that.
Just out of a human deal here that it's kind of like he says, you know, if you fall down, they want you to get up and go again. Well, this is a situation that they were in a ship and it wasn't a good situation, but yet nobody lost their life. But yet, you know, here they are in this island, they got to get to the mainland. And so, this ship too had a load of corn and it had wintered there. They had sense enough to get in out of this weather before the weather really turned bad with that storm situation. And so, they had anchored off there and didn't affect them like it did others. It said which had wintered in the island, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And so we'll read the note in the Companion Bible about Castor and Pollux. It's the word, I was going to say it, but I don't think I will now because I kind of forgot. It's really tough for me to do the Greek. So, the Castor and Pollux was literally the sons of Zeus. And these twin sons of Zeus and Leda, were defied. And their names given to the bright stars in the constellation Gemini, or in the Maseroth, if you will. They were regarded as the patron deities of sailors. And so it says, this sign was carried on the prow of the vessel, or on the very front of the vessel, after the manner of our figureheads. So, you know, our old sailing vessels, we had figureheads on them, but here they used the signs of these gods. And so it was the god of the sailors, of Castor and Pollux. So I guess maybe that might have given them a little bit of spirit in that situation. Then in verse 12 it says that they departed in the ship. And they landed at Syracuse, and it says, we tarried there 3 days. So they anchored at Syracuse, and this is in Sicily. Syracuse, Sicily. It's a city to the southeast of where they were planning to go. And it said, we tarried there 3 days. And that word is epi or epimeno. And the word tarried is epimeno, and it means that they stayed or continued 3 days, or they were delayed 3 days. So I guess the ship had some kind of something that it needed to do to take on or let off or whatever, a certain amount of stuff. But, you know, when you're going, when you're being put on a ship that's doing other stuff, then you got to let the ship do its business. So the ship and the owner of the ship is there to do the business of the ship, not so much to carry passengers, if you will, in this situation. But they did that because to make more money and to make it more profitable, they did carry passengers and these prisoners, and Paul and all were on these ships going there. And it says, from there or from thence, we fetched a compass, verse 13, and came to Regium. And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. Well, they were going against the wind there for the first day. And so they had to tack. And if you're tacking in a sailboat, you can't go directly against the wind. You've got to allow the wind to move it to a point, and then it's called a zigzag motion. And then you can turn the boat, and it will let you advance some more, but not like it was if the wind was at your back. And so, from Syracuse, because of the tacking, they had to fetch a compass to see where they were at because of the tacking back and forth. Okay, now, and they came to Regium. And this is a port in southern Italy. So you see, they're getting pretty close to where they're going. It says, and after one day, here is another time of tarry. And I guess for Paul, I think he was the type of person that wanted to be useful in some sense every day of his life. And whatever Paul did, he did it with this exuberance to get things done.
He wasn't much time waster. Right?
No, and it always seemed to bother him for having to tarry. And it said, and after one day, the south wind blew. Okay, so the Lord was with him. So the wind caught him behind the back again, and allowed him to move forward the way. They didn't need this going back and forth.
That's how you make the best time.
You know, straight line is always the best way to go. And it says, and we made good sailing, and we came the next day. The good sailing was to Puteoli. And this is to the bay. Puteoli is a bay of Naples, Italy. So they were getting about as close to Rome as they could get by sea. And so this was, this was getting toward the end of their journey in 13 there. And then we get to 14. And it says, Puteoli was where they found brethren. It says, where we found brethren or other Jews or other people of the Jewish race, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. So they said, look, guys, we're going to ask you to stay here, and it's going to be profitable to you because what we know, you need to know. Basically, is this 7-day thing. And so, they met other Jews there, and they were destined to tarry, desired to tarry, to gain comfort and instructions. That was the whole idea of these people that were there. They knew the way the Romans operated, and they wanted Paul and the other prisoners to realize and to understand that there's some things you got to watch out for. Because the Romans wasn't their friend. The Romans were their conquerors. They were the ones that were in charge over them. Okay? So they had a 1 week stay there. They were there 7 days. And so we came or walked every way you want to put it. That's 40-43. Toward Rome, in the direction of Rome, Italy, in 14. So they started the journey from the seashore in Naples, Italy, toward the city of Rome. Now, there shouldn't be very much problem with the understanding there. And then we get down to 15. And it says, and from thence, or from there, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Well, you got to know what happened in the other verse in order to understand what's being said here in 15. So, and it says, and from there, when the brethren, or when the other Jews heard of us or knew that they were there, see, they've been with them for 7 days, and they got instructions, and they gave them comfort and instructions, and the word got out on up the road. Yeah, Paul and these people were here. And Paul was well known. He might have been well known for the wrong thing, but he was well known. And so then the other guys came down the road and meet him.
We remember the, even the demons that were in the seven sons of Sceva. They said, you know, Jesus I know, Paul I know. I don't know you.
Yeah. So that's the way that works. So the other Jews, they knew that they were coming, or that they were on their way. So it says they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum. And Appii Forum was a market area, 43 miles out from Rome, where they came to meet them. Now, the rest of that verse is the deal that was in Paul's mind of what the first guys had told him when they stayed with him for a week. And it says, and the three taverns. See, the Appii Forum was like 43 miles from Rome, but the three taverns was 10 miles closer. Oh, they had made it 33 miles from Rome, and here's what it said in 15, who when Paul saw the three taverns, he thanked God and took courage, because he felt like that he was getting close enough now to where he was going to be freed, because he had appealed unto Caesar. And so, this was the reason Paul gave thanks to God to get him to where he was. Because he said, man, I'm only like 1 day's walk now, or 2 days walk, to where I'm going to be let free. I'm going to be heard. I'm going to be let free. Well, guess what? It didn't work that way. just didn't work that way. And so 16 is a kind of a telling thing now. And here's it's Paul in Rome. And it didn't go the way Paul thought it was going to. And when we came to Rome, the centurion, or the man over 100 soldiers, delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Well, you would think, gee, that sounds pretty good. But that wasn't really the way Paul had thought this thing was going to work out. And here's the reason why. When we got there, when we got to Rome, the centurion, this Roman that's over 100 men, delivered or turned over the prisoners, those that were transported with Paul, to the captain of the guard. And the captain of the guard is the main prison head. But Paul. Don't say but now, but it says but Paul. He's now apart from the other prisoners. Was suffered or allowed to dwell or to remain by himself in solitary. Not quite. He had a soldier as a guard that kept or guarded him, and he was chained to the wrist to Paul.
That's what's called obligation.
And so Paul was chained to this guard with a chain, and Paul spoke of this chain 9 times in Scripture. And it made a real impact on the Apostle Paul. He wanted to get on with the rest of the prisoners because he was a Roman citizen. Paul was. I don't know about these other folks, but Paul was a Roman citizen, and he had appealed to Caesar. He had appealed to his Supreme Court, if you will. And here he was. He didn't get to go there, to the prison where they could bring him in before the Caesar to be heard. He was staying in this house out here somewhere, chained to a guard. And that could be good. That could be bad. But with Paul, it wasn't good. It was just not what he was expecting. Paul, no doubt, did not expect this treatment. And he wanted to be heard as to his appeal unto Caesar. But you know, God had other plans for Paul. Like others before him, and even unto us today, we realize that God's ways are different from man's ways. And Paul just needed to stop and remember what God had told him when he was in that light on the Damascus Road back in Acts 9. Now, Paul did and would yield to God's calling. So with that in mind, let's read on, because we need to remember. We need to go back to Acts 9, to his conversion, and to remember what God told him he was going to have to do. And so this is God's plan, and the way God wanted it worked, and not the way that Paul wanted it worked. And a lot of times we say, well, we can't wait. We can't wait. We want it now. But, you know, that's just not the way it works out. So let's go to verse 17. And this is the first meeting now. And I don't know how Paul worked it in and worked it around to where he could have this meeting, but excuse me a minute.
I always thought it seemed odd that the whole purpose of his appeal was to go to Rome and be heard by Caesar. And then when he gets there, the record says that he just discussed things with the Jews.
Yeah. And it kind of fell back upon the fact that that God's plan and Paul's plan.
Two different plans.
At this position right here wasn't in tune, completely. Okay. So, you know, as we read it and as we go over it again and again and again and again, we see these things get more plain as we go through it and do this. This is the first meeting. 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they had come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. It's pretty clear. But
I ain't done anything, but here I am.
But I guess he couldn't chain to that man. He couldn't say, well, get me before Caesar. But I guess the best he could do was to call the chief of the Jews together. Okay. So 3 days. The time to reflect. You know, the word three is a very pertinent number in Scripture. And so he called the chief of the Jews together, the head of the first of the Jews, the I guess you would call it the head ones, into a meeting. And when they came together, or when they met, this is what he said to them, Men and brother, though I have committed nothing against the people, I have broken no laws against my people or customs of the fathers or their ancestral customs that they had been living under or by or with. And he says, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem or out of Jerusalem as a Jew into the hands of the Romans. And also we got to remember that he was a Roman citizen also. And he had been asked that if he purchased that citizenship or if he come back by birth. And but regardless of how he got it, he had the privilege to appeal to Caesar that way. Now let's go to verse 18. It says, who, when they had examined me. So I guess these chief ones of the Jews there,
and it appears that it was within their power to release him.
Yeah.
Drop the charges.
Yeah, but now you got to remember how bad these people had been down through the years. They hadn't changed a whole lot.
Oh.
It says, who, when they had examined me, gave me a preliminary hearing, actually, is the way this thing came out, would have let me go. Wished to free me because they let me go because there was no cause of death in me. They was not enough, and I don't know where he's talking back to before he left Jerusalem or where it's with these people or whether it's both. But it seems like that, you know, that this seemed to be his best way to be freed, and he wanted to be free because there was no charge or no cause of death in me. And those that sent him away, they didn't really have a charge to make. You know, they had an awful time getting the paper up to send him there. And these people, you know, we're kind of the same way. And then you get into verse 19, it says, but when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I ought to have accused my nation of. So evidently this was being sent from Jerusalem. It says, but when the Jews spoke against it, they were those which had taken it. I think they were some in that crowd that had taken the oath to kill Paul.
Oh, yeah, very likely.
And he says, I was constrained, and that constrained there is compelled or distressed by necessity. That's 3:15 in the Greek. I was constrained, I was compelled, and I was distressed enough by necessity to appeal to Caesar because Paul felt like that he could lose his life over that thing. But he said, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. And this was only because of some of the Jews. And
yeah, at least he didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
He knew who the ones that were.
It was not the nation as a whole, but it was a few people only there in Jerusalem that these centurions and those Roman soldiers in charge listened to. Mm-hmm. And so they he said it wasn't all of the nation of the Jews, it was just a few in my own of my own that did that. And it says in 20, for this cause, therefore I have called you, and this goes back to 16. I have called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. So here he's talking about the chain of that guard that was with him there in 16, when he really wanted to go on and to be close to Caesar to where he could get out and get a hearing. And so, 20 kind of gives us that picture. Here's Paul's reason to be heard. Because he wanted to be allowed to go free. But he says, therefore, therefore I have called for you to see you and to speak with you. Paul wanted to have the opportunity to get these men together and to say, look, this is where I'm at. This is the reason I'm here. And I called you guys together and I want to talk to you. I want to see you and I want to get your situation on this. Because he says, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. He said, my brethren and my land and my nation, I hold hope. Well, what did he hold hope in? He held hope in the Messiah, in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, I am bound with this chain. I am in bonds because of what I am saying about your Messiah and my Messiah. And what I am teaching about this. 21. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of thee. So here, pretty straightforward. They said unto him, they haven't received any letters from the Jerusalem area, from Judea, concerning Paul, neither any of the brethren that came to Rome from that area showed or spoke any harm of thee.
I think that was a lie too.
So, they may have been.
We were flipping the truth for the.
Yeah, kind of.
For the Caesar there a little bit.
Jacking him up a little bit. He says, but we desire to hear what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So, here, is another verse of scripture that probably was not the truth of these people, that they were not really in Paul's, on Paul's side. He said, but we'll listen to you. He says, of what thou thinkest, not what thou knowest, but what thou thinkest. There's a difference between.
And I wonder if they weren't just giving him one more opportunity to trip himself up so they could pounce on him and, you know, have something to accuse him of right there in front of Caesar.
In front of him. Yeah. To be able to go to court against him.
Yep.
Rather than with him.
But instead they got
okay. The
Isaiah 6 pronouncement.
Yeah, it says, but as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against, so.
They've already set the premise.
Yeah, and now they've done stoked the dagger in a little bit, and they're giving it a little twist here. So, we get down to the second, meeting. And when they appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophet from morning till evening. Okay. We don't know how long it was between the first meeting to the second meeting. It says, they gave him a day. Appointed him a day. And there came many. So you could pretty much bet your sweet dippy that they raped and scraped and got up all the Jews that they could get in there. Because we now kind of see what the deal is going on here. They, and Paul waited on them. He, He said, he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. The kingdom of God and what Christ had come and taught and promised. Not only that, but also from Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. So this was something that I think Paul certainly had the ability to do without any question. And
if
it says,
anybody could.
And some believed these things which were spoken, and some believed not. Now, this is an ongoing thing with the Jews. They it was hard to get a quorum. They could not seem to get a group of people together that could come together with a unified type understanding, because some of them were persuaded and some of them were not. And it said that when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. Here's a problem that we have. I'm going to read you the note in the Companion Bible. When it talks about departed, they were out of harmony. And so the departed, they were literally being sent away by the heads or the chiefs of the Jews. You can read that in Appendix 174:11. The imperfect suggests that the chief men broke up the meeting and sent the rest of the way in least they should more of them be convinced. So
they were afraid Paul was going to win the argument.
Yeah, and he had an argument that they couldn't contend with, and so there's a little more to this departing than we've been led to understand by just reading through it without having some understanding of what was going on. And it said, and after that, Paul had spoken one word. He spoke more than one word, but it means one thing. And this is what he says. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. So this was exactly what was going on. It says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, because these chief men were representing the rest of the people, the rest of the Jews. And so the heart of them were waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart the three things, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you. And that's the quote of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, I believe. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. I am sure they did. But it didn't seem like they were afraid of God too much at that point. But look what it cost Paul. He dwelt 2 years, two whole years, in his own hired house and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no man forbidding him. So, he didn't get freed. He evidently didn't get the audience with Caesar at this point, and it cost him 2 years of his time. And so all this thing with the shipwreck, all this thing with the storm, and all this thing of being on the island all winter, and all the good things that they did in the island of Malta for these people, you know, kind of paled in terms of what happened to Paul here. And he had to spend the 2 years in prison, which, that's not the rest of the story. And we'll just make a note of this. So we find that he's there and he's in jail. He's chained to a prisoner. But let's go back to Paul's mission through the land of Israel. That began in 35 to 36 A.D. And Paul's conversion in Acts 9 is between Acts 37 and 38 A.D. And Paul goes to Tarsus in 39 A.D. and up to Jerusalem in 40 A.D. to see Peter. And Paul's imprisonment at Rome here, these 2 years that we've spoken about, was in A.D. 61 through 63. And while he was there, he wrote or was given Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Okay. Now, he wrote Thessalonians. He wrote Thessalonians 10 years before. And if you want to see what he wrote and you want to see what he thought, we'll not go through that in this study. But if you go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, and you will find out that Paul thought that he would be there when Christ was going to come back.
Yep.
And that he thought that he would be alive, but there would be some dead that Christ would bring with him, but the rest of them would be alive and they'd meet him and join him in the air. Absolutely. 180 degrees from Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So in the 10 years between the time he wrote 1 Thessalonians, in the early writings, in the writings that he got, that he wrote while he was in this prison house for 2 years, chained to these men, that they would come and go, but he had to stay there. But he was chained to different ones, because they changed them guards out. Because I think Caesar also wanted to know what Paul was saying and how much easier could it be to talk with one of his guards and to listen to what the guard said Paul said rather than to listen to Paul himself. Yep. So Caesar could have been getting all of this stuff second-handed, you know, in that sense. But boy, guess what? I bet you he got an earful when Paul got this understanding about the mystery truth and to understand that it's really different from anything, and I'm not sure that without the Holy Spirit that they could have picked up on it, but it had to give them a lot of consternation as it went along. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about a little bit in the next. And I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but it's nothing new, but it is in a sense that kind of the way that we might be going to present it in a respect, because we're going to try to include a lot of the things that were going on around Paul's life to get involved into what he says, because this is a whole nother world. This is a whole nother hope to this old world that was so bad that God just should have given up on it a long time ago. Amen. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it.
And praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord that that didn't happen. And so that's kind of what we want to do. And I just couldn't stop here. I couldn't stop in Zechariah because I felt like that the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, is the real clincher here. Because what the Lord Jesus Christ did for the world was something that just has to be talked about a little more. And I haven't done it for 3 years much, other than Jehovah. And I bet I've said Jehovah in the last 3 years more times than the Jehovah Witnesses have. But yeah, you know, this was God as Jehovah giving these instructions and giving these understanding to when he was going to be silent for about 375 or 400 years, and then he was going to come back in person. He was going to come in person, in the flesh, to mankind. Amen. And they were going to have him for 33 years. From the time he was a baby to the time they put him on the cross. And from the time he went back into heaven. And all this is about all this. So, here we are. And I hope you'll stay for the next installment. So thank you a lot. God bless you, and may the Lord bless you. And let's see if we can make this little walk a real walk for the last few weeks. Thank you, Ron.